Jeff Dorn, that was a wonderful song, Jeff. Thank you so much. God bless you. You left your Bible up here, Pastor Craig, from this morning, and your notes. How nice of you. Wasn't that a great message this morning? We have a house. Outstanding. Just left that feeling like you're part of the family of God, and God could even do something significant through little old me. If we try, if we just made ourselves available. And then Pastor Craig, the Sunday before, sang as a man of many talents. Remember that song, It's Good to Be Free? He sang with the choir. That was an awesome, memorable moment. And we are grateful. I've been sad all day. Just sort of, I think today, the reality that they're actually leaving is sinking in on me. And it has not been the happiest day in the world for me. But I bless them, and I believe that God is calling them to the center and heart of His will. For the next season in their lives, as they go to Southern California to finish a church plant project that has been started, they have is reminding me over lunch that the people who have assembled initially to be a part of this church plant are largely senior adults, and we have a large number of senior adults in the life of our congregation. They're wonderful people. So that's the group. He's going to be starting with the senior adults plus the Durkees, the younger family that you saw. And that's who he will be beginning with out there in the desert where it gets very hot, but it's dry heat. They were thanking God today that they're leaving the humidity. And I'm going, yeah, what about us? We got to sit here and live with it. But they're going to go out to dry heat where it never gets cold and live in the desert. And we believe God, the God who makes streams through the desert. Amen. The prophet Isaiah said, our Lord is able to make a way through the wilderness and streams through the desert. And we believe He's going to send spiritual streams to that desert. We're going to be praying about that tonight. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to two verses that are found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And I'd like to speak to you tonight on a subject that probably it would be tough to speak on in a vacuum. I want to talk about what Scripture teaches us about proper honor and attitude towards leaders. You can imagine that to preach that in a vacuum would be very suspect. It would be very self-serving for me just to get up and say, I just feel led of the Lord to talk to you about how you ought to honor your pastor. So I seized on this moment because Pastor Craig and his family have been such pastors among us. And what we are going to do tonight, there'll be four individuals who'll be sharing after I finish this rather short message, and then we'll be praying over the Cunninghams. And what we're here to do tonight is to honor the Lord and thank God for His grace in the gift of a leader among us. Leadership is a God-given gift to the church. It's a God-given gift to our lives. And I thank God for the leaders that are in my life, my district superintendent, and the national leadership that I'm accountable to as a senior pastor. And I thank God for the leadership of our board of deacons that I'm accountable to in the life of this church. I thank God for the gift of leaders. And the Bible talks to us about what leaders, the result, the attitude, the response that leaders should have from congregations. And so will you stand for the reading of God's word? We're going to read verses 12 and 13. It's on the screen. You can read it out loud if you don't have the New International Version of the Bible with you. Verse 12, all together. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work, and live in peace with each other. Father, we pray your grace now as we come, and help us, Lord, as we, many of us in the reception after will greet Pastor Craig and Trish, their family personally. May they feel the appreciation and honor and respect that they are due as people who have worked hard among us. And we thank you for this evening. We thank you for their lives. And we thank you for your word. May we hear it and respond in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you condense it down to its simplest form, God's word said there are two ways, tells us about two ways we're to respond to leaders. And first of all, we're to respect their authority. Respect their authority. There in verse 12, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you and who are, and then he uses an authority language, an authority phrase, who are over you in the Lord. Respecting authority. I wonder if that's not a lost art in America today. And even in our congregations, just the idea, you know, we like pastors who serve us and lift us up and leaders who actualize us and minister to us and help us be all we can be. And it's rare you ever, even these days, hear a pastor dare to say, I am over you in the Lord. Nonetheless, people say, you know, my pastor is in spiritual authority in my life. More so, we pastors, we call a church to a week of fasting and prayer, and we know only usually 20% of the whole congregation will even pay attention to that, because there's no sense in most of our culture, and we all come out of the culture that, you know, no pastor's going to tell me what to do or control my life. And when he talks about pastors being over us in the Lord, he's not really talking about a cult where a leader controls your thoughts and your decisions. But there is a place in which God does put authority and put leadership over our lives. And that accountability is like a haven of safety for us. I don't pastor an independent church. I know I have friends who do, but I personally don't pastor an independent church because I don't want to not be accountable. I always want people over me in the Lord. Not that I don't trust me, but I don't trust me. Not that Jesus hasn't done a work of grace that's tremendous in my life, but I don't ever want to do anything that would even take me close to playing loose with the edges of that privilege. And God gives us authority. God gives us spiritual mentors and leaders to speak into our lives that are, in a sense, over us, as unpopular as that concept is. They are over us in the Lord. And God and Craig and Trish has given us pastors that have been over us in the Lord. When we moved Pastor Craig from youth minister to a broad breadth of leadership in the life of our church, across all the departments and all the adult ministries of the church, he became a pastor to us, over us in the Lord. And he became a spiritual mentor and guide. And so many of you became leaders, and you did cooperate. Authority isn't here to boss people around. Authority is here to serve. But authority is also responsible to make sure that we're going the right direction and we've done whatever it takes to help people go that right direction. And I've seen Pastor Craig work incredibly hard that way. As so many of you have come around and become small group leaders or become ministry team leaders or you become greeters or you're a part of our process of following up on our new guests and all of the various many, many areas. You're working at Alpha. You've been partnering with him in Celebrate Recovery. All of these areas. It takes people in authority who need to be trusted and given the authority to call the shots. And we say, okay, we get that vision and we'll follow you and pastor, you tell us what to do and we'll do it if we're not totally sure ourselves what's obvious to do. And that's respecting authority. This is a wonderful part of responding to leadership. It's why leadership is a gift. And this idea of respecting authority, first of all, is an attitude. In Romans 13, verses 6 and 7, he talks about governmental authority. There's governmental or civil authority. There's authority in the family, like children obey your parents, respecting their authority. And there's authority in the church, of spiritual leadership. In the verse we just read in 1 Thessalonians, that was authority in the church. He's writing to a congregation and telling them to respect the authority of those who are over them and to appreciate it. But in Romans 13, he's talking about civil or governmental authority. He says, you may not, and of course he's talking about the Roman Empire. You may not agree with everything they do. You may not even like them. But they are God's servants. God has put them in to restrain evil and to avenge good and to extend justice and to keep an order to society. And so in verse 6, he said, this is also why you pay taxes. And everybody said, ouch. This is why you say pay taxes. For the what? Authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. So give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honor, then honor. And this is the call. And many people, I see people in the church. They don't agree with what one of the staff pastors does, so they withhold their tithes and they start to gossip and backbite behind their backs. And thank God, I sense very little of that in our church life, but I've seen it happen. And yet God's word says, you know what? Just like governing authorities, you may not always like their politics, but you still need to pay your taxes, because there is a certain order that God has set. And God places leaders in places of authority so that together, corporately, we can be protected and move ahead. And he said, you ought to do things like, if you owe them respect, then respect them. And if honor, then honor. Even in the elections coming up, you know, we've got a great battle going on right now between Barack and Hillary, and then we've got John McCain waiting in the wings, and this is going to be a battle royale in every way this year politically. But I think even as believers, because we realize this is part of God setting in order who he would have to be our president, whether it's you think God had his way or the devil had his way, I don't know how you'll feel after November 5th. But the fact is, once somebody fills the office of president, as Christians, there's a boundary on our attitudes towards anybody who's in authority. We don't put them down like everybody else in the world, even though we may not vote for them or agree with their politics. Here, even with governing authorities, he said, you respect and you honor the office and all that goes with it. This is part of what God calls us to. It's an attitude that we have towards anybody in authority. Also, it's an action. It's an action. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, Hebrews 13 and verse 7. When it comes to respecting authority, it's not only attitude, but it's action. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Keep watch. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now here he's again speaking to a church about the spiritual authority. And I love, we'll leave those verses on the screen, but I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases that. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? And so this is the very tangible, active way in which we respond to the authority of spiritual leaders. Notice he said that they work, they keep watch over you as men who must give account. That we, as spiritual leaders, give account for God for your spiritual welfare. That's a huge responsibility. The Bible tells us that we who teach will be actually at the judgment seat of Christ measured by a stricter judgment than anybody else. And so Paul actually says to the people in the Ephesian church, don't be too quick to want to teach or be in spiritual authority, because you'll be measured by a stricter standard. So that makes us tremble as spiritual leaders. And yet it makes us work hard. And I've seen Pastor Craig just work incredibly hard to be that kind of spiritual leader to us. And he has served and he has led and so many of you have worked, whether you worked with him as youth leaders or you worked with him as small groups or a part of the connection system. You really lived out those scriptures when in action you came alongside, so that, you know, instead of 5 phone calls for a volunteer, you know, he only had to make 2 or 3, you know, because you said, okay, Pastor Craig, I'll work with you. I'll help you out here. Amen. Pastor Craig, you're not saying amen. That's true, isn't it? Yeah, amen. So we respect the God-given authority in our lives. And then number 2, the second call to respond to leadership is to respond with appreciation. Respond with appreciation. We go back to that original passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Literally means, in fact, the word you could translate superabundant or excessively. When he says, have the highest regard, superabundantly or excessively appreciate them, is what he's saying to us. And that's what we want to do tonight. We want to say thank you to Craig and Trish and their lives for what they're doing. In 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 17 there that we read earlier, the elders who direct the affairs of the church are well, are worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So that's just a little survey of the scriptural, some of the scriptural instruction in the New Testament that say that spiritual leaders, there ought to be respect for their authority, and we ought to respond with double honor, with abundant, excessive appreciation and regard for their hard work among us. I wanted to conclude my part tonight by just reflecting a few points of appreciation for Craig and Trish. I just appreciate, and their whole family, the way they've worked together as a team. And Craig and Trish, I know as youth pastors, they were youth pastors a year that my daughters came into the youth group when we moved here in 2003. And I know it wasn't just Craig as a youth pastor, but Trish spent a lot of time just listening to my daughters who were really struggling with all the ties they had to break in Vancouver to come here. And it was a very, very difficult first year for them. And thanks, Trish, for just talking to them and listening. And Craig, you doing the same. And I know you mentored a lot of young people. And then in the connections area, just in many, many ways, you came around. You've worked together. You've loved on people together. You've shown hospitality together. I love ministry teams. This is true of every one of the spouses of all of our pastors. And thank you for being that. Also appreciate Trish. Many of you may not know, but Trish works for the National Institute of Marriage. And she does one of the hardest things I could imagine. But they have couples come in from all over the country. And she and another partner will have a four-day marriage intensive with this couple. It's kind of day and night for 4 days. And these are always highly critical, on the brink relationships. And they see the transformational power of God as they just have a couple and they're with a couple or a small group of couples for 4 days. People have told me it's one of the most exhausting things they've ever done emotionally. And I keep hearing from people that Trish is exceptionally good as a marriage counselor. She is exceptionally good as a Christian counselor, helping people. She integrates spirituality with great wisdom and skill and insight into the human condition and the dynamics of relationships. And what I've appreciated as a pastor, even though you do that elsewhere, and it's always good to have that to refer couples to. But Trish, I appreciate, I usually like to stay close to the lobbies empty on Sundays, but sometimes I peek my head back in here and you're sitting in one of these front rows with another person and you're the last person to leave sometimes because you have just free of charge, not as a paid counselor or psychologist. You just have given so generously. I often see you late here after services with people seeking out your counsel and wisdom. I deeply appreciate that, how you've added so much to the life of our church. And I love your family. I see Alexis down there. And Alexis, do you have any idea how many kids you brought to youth group? If you were to add them all up between your days at Cherokee and no? It's 50 or 60. I was going to say it's got to be over 50. In fact, sometimes we've had to get whole church vans to go out and just pick up her friends and bring them to church. And we've seen some of them come to the Lord. It's just amazing. Our youth group is losing their prime evangelist. And what a gift of evangelism you have. I can't wait to hear about the great work of God in schools there in Coachella Valley, there in Southern California, because Alexis Cunningham is going to arrive on the scene. Hallelujah. And we love your boys, Cameron Carter. They are such gentlemen and godly young men. And what a thing that says about your family. And you have pastored well, but you have done family well. You've done Christ-centered, godly family. Your children already rise up and bless you by their life examples. And Craig, I appreciate your gift for strategic planning. It's an amazing thing. That's one of the reasons I wanted to shift you from youth ministry to benefit you, tap your skills for the whole. You're amazing. He really is one of my main partners when it comes to strategic planning. Not all of us on pastoral staff get into strategic planning meetings, but to quote Pastor Craig, I could sit in those all day, every day of the week. Pastor Craig is a genius. You want to think something through, you just sit down with Pastor Craig. He's a genius in strategic planning settings. And a lot of our initiatives as a church the last few years have been the fruit of Pastor Craig's ideas and insights. And he's been very proactive to say, here, I see a plan for how we could do some things. and you've added incredibly that way. Above all, you have a heart. We read these scriptures about pastoral leaders accountable to God for how they care for the flock and to work hard. And some of that hard work for a pastor is heart work. It's heart work. Hard heart work. And you've done that. And you not only lead things, but boy, the ministry you've had to some of the guys at Victory Mission who we love having a part of our congregation. And I know sometimes you spend a lot of one-on-one time just encouraging them during the week. And then you spend time with business guys, and you spend time counseling couples that are struggling, and you do that. I've had pastoral calls at midnight, and I remember a suicide a couple of years ago, and I got there, and you and Trish were already there on site. It was about midnight, and I've been in the hospital. I've shown up in the hospital in the middle of the night, and you and Trish are already there. You keep beating me to these places. But that's your amazing pastoral heart, and partly because you've got connection with so many people in the life of our church. And we thank you for doing the hard heart work of loving people. I've never doubted for a moment your love for the people of Central Assembly, your deep love. And it is such a great example to me. And that's why we want to, especially my second point tonight, not only respect authority, but respond with appreciation. I'd like Colin Ray to come up, if he would. Colin, I've got a mic here. Colin is one of the young businessmen in our congregation. He's been in Central for a number of years, and he was in the youth group, right,
that's right,
Colin? So I'd like you to share for a little bit.
I brought some notes up because 10 years of knowing Craig, we've probably got 20 years of memories that kind of got packed in there, especially those first couple of years. But I moved here in 1998 and came from a great small church in Texas, but this was quite a new experience for me, coming to a church this big with a youth group as large as it was. And I think I came, what month did you come in 98? Was it 98 you came? March? And I came in August. And I don't know if it was a connection because he was new, and this was a new experience for him, and I was new as well. But I had gone around to different churches, loved a lot of churches in town, and all of them were extremely welcoming. But there was something when I came here that, Craig, you seemed to seek me out and make me feel at home. And I've been thinking through, since we heard that you were leaving, a lot of the different things that have happened. I've had two memories stand out with you and with Trish. We had formed Legacy in the youth group, and I don't know if any of you ever saw it back in the multipurpose hall. We had two big hands that were up on the side, and we had decided that the theme was that we were going to leave a legacy, we were going to make our mark. And I was new and trying to get plugged in, and any of you that may have had kids at day camp 8 or 9 years ago, they may have come home telling you about the kid that had four fingers. It was their counselor, because I'm missing a finger on this hand. And have always had a lot of fun with it. In fact, if you had kids there, they probably told you stories that are not true. But, you know, they get excited. You don't want to tell them you're just born without it. You tell them you cut it off, or you try and teach them safety lessons out of it. But anyway, I remember one Wednesday night, Craig said from up on the stage with all the youth kids in there, he said, you know, I've been thinking, I'm going to take a paint roller up to the legacy hand and just take the finger out of it. And we're going to do that in honor of Colin. And when you're 16 years old and the youth pastor at this, you know, huge church in my eyes is talking about you up there and kind of making you feel like you've got your own place there, it really helps out a lot. And I could have been at any other church in this town and probably had a great time, but I ended up meeting my wife in Craig's youth group. And I know my parents had met with you before we moved here. And there's a lot of prayer that went into what church I ended up at. And Craig was instrumental in getting me at Central. And I've loved it ever since. And Trish, I didn't get to know right off the bat, but I realized later on there's not anybody that can listen like Trish. And we were at Celebration 2000 in Indianapolis with Fine Arts. And Beth, my wife, we were dating, and she was in the Fine Arts Festival. And it was her birthday that week. And I had taken her out downtown Indianapolis and got a carriage so we could go out for her birthday, and had tried to make it a really special event. The only problem was the last day when they had the final concert and everything was actually her birthday. And when I woke up that morning, I never said happy birthday the entire day. And that's a big mistake I learned. But I started realizing, good for me, I guess, that I realized there is something wrong. And when I found out, I thought, boy, I've really messed up. And I remember we were all in a van riding back, and Trish was sitting in the back of the van with us. And Beth and I had kind of worked it out, and we were talking with Trish, just kind of having fun. And we ended up, I don't know how long, hours, sitting in the back of that bus talking with Trish about dating, just learning different lessons from her. And I think even Beth had joked with Pastor that Trish kind of did our premarital counseling 4 years before we decided to get married. But it wasn't until tonight, sitting and listening to Pastor, that I realized, even though those are funny stories and memories in my mind, they actually speak a lot about what you've done since then with the Connections ministry here. You did the same thing for so many people you did for me. You got people plugged into this church. You made them feel at home. And I know, Trisha, like Pastor was saying, the intensives, everything that you do, a lot of it naturally quiet behind the scenes because people deserve privacy. But I'm sure there have been a lot of people that have been touched by you. And I know that now as you move to California, those same roles, you're going to be able to continue working with marriages and strengthening those. And Craig, you're going to have a whole new crew of people to make feel welcome. And we've all seen it here. You're well equipped to do that. And we're going to miss you a lot. But we know that California is getting a real blessing. We love you.
Great. Well said. That's fantastic. Wonderfully well said. There's a ministry here at Central that's become a very important ministry. It's called Celebrate Recovery. It's where we walk people through a Christ-centered 12-step version of the Beatitudes and help people come to freedom from life-controlling habits and hang-ups. And we launched that. We launched Celebrate Recovery a couple of years ago with a sermon series in January and February. And then this was sort of for us to, in terms of pastoral leadership, pass over to Pastor Craig, whose vision it was to start this, and with my enthusiastic approval and endorsement. And ever since then, every Tuesday night, Pastor Craig has been involved in the past as the pastor over Celebrate Recovery, which meets over in the Fusion Center. It is just right now a thriving ministry. We've seen numbers of people come to Christ, quite a few people, and lives set free and changed. And however, for most of us, because we try to keep confidential who goes to Celebrate Recovery and all of that, it's kind of an invisible ministry to most of us. But it has been a major every week commitment that Pastor Craig has taken on. And so I asked one of Pastor Craig's co-leaders, Helen Wagner, who he referenced as one of the wonderful living stones this morning. And Helen, I agree, is just such a fabulous lady. And Helen, I've asked you if you would come and just share maybe from your perspective just some things about Pastor Craig. And thank you so much for being willing to do that.
Well, on behalf of all of us who are involved in Celebrate Recovery, I want to thank Pastor Craig for his passion and compassion expressed in his following the Lord's leading to begin this very important ministry here at Central Assembly to minister to those who are experiencing hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And early in 2006, I began hearing Celebrate Recovery mentioned by Pastor Craig during the announcements at church. And then a few people gave their personal recovery testimonies. And I remember thinking that I didn't have any habits or hang-ups, but maybe it was a ministry I could become involved with. And I finally became aware of the first H in Celebrate Recovery, which is hurts. And I was definitely hurting. I hadn't had too much contact with Pastor Craig prior to CR because I didn't have any youth-age children. But it didn't take long to discover his caring heart and his ability to look beyond the present condition of a person to what God might have for them in the future. He accepted all of us with our hurts, habits, and hang-ups and helped us to grow through the 12-step program based on the biblical principles of the Beatitudes. Even though we all knew that Pastor Craig was, quote, a pastor on staff at the big church across the street, he was always available to give an encouraging word to someone. He also didn't hesitate to share if he had had a bad day, and his transparency was something that endeared him to all of us. We were always anxious to hear one of his "this could only happen to Craig" stories, which let us know that even pastors have days when things don't go just right, but he has the ability to laugh at himself, pick himself up, and go on. I also want to thank his wife and children for sacrificing another night without him so that he was able to be to oversee the ministry of Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights. As you transition to Southern California, I know there will be many, many more lives who will be touched by your passion and compassion for the work of the Lord. And who knows, even though there may be a Celebrate Recovery ministry in the Coachella Valley someday, do know that you will be greatly missed by all of your CR friends, but our prayers will go with you and your family.
Wonderful, Helen. Fantastic. Beautiful tribute. It's a beautiful tribute. I was very touched. Just a few weeks ago, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, I sat in part of Celebrate Recovery just to enjoy. Linda Wilson and her team were leading a wonderful worship time, and just so enjoyed that and had opportunity to just say hi to everybody. But before any of that, they took up a love offering for the Cunninghams for them going. I was so touched by that wonderfully generous offering that they took for you at Celebrate Recovery. Craig and Trish have told me that they count among their closest friends our new connections pastor, actually, and her husband, Dan and Laura Lee Crabtree. They have been close personal friends, as well as wonderful ministry partners in the Connection Ministry. Dan teaches over here in Craig's office during 9:30, our new believers class, and they've been involved as leaders. They lead a home group, and they have partnered in many areas in Connections, plus being close personal friends among that closer circle that Craig and Trish have. So I thought before we pray over them, it would be good just to hear from their friends as well, just at that level. And so I'd like Dan and Laura Lee, if you will come, and they're each going to be sharing a tribute, and then we're going to be praying over Craig and Trish.
Craig and Trish, our dear, dear friends, and we have so many memories that it's hard to just pick a few. But there's been, so many barbecues and Sunday school parties and youth leaders meetings. But I just want to pick out one of my favorite memories with the Cunningham family. And that was a couple years ago when we all piled in Pastor Craig's boat and we went out on Table Rock Lake and spent the whole day, our family with their family, great big bucket of KFC, just had a great time, laughed the day away. And as the sun began to set and we were, bringing the boat in, getting ready to go home, Pastor Craig had this great idea. Hey, let's take our kids swimming at the pool at Chateau on the Lake. And I'm like, but Pastor Craig, we're not paying guests. He's like, don't worry about it, don't worry. So we all get to Chateau on the Lake, and we sneak our kids in the pool, and our kids are just having this great time. And my conscience is so pricked. I'm like, but we're not paying guests. So he runs in and he buys coffee for all the adults and ice cream for all the children. He says, now we are. We're paying guests. Had a great, great day. Our kids just laughed and splashed and played, and me and Trish talked the night away, and Dan and Pastor Craig talked the night away. Our family has been friends with the Cunningham family, and that's so hard to find. Sometimes maybe your husband is friends with another man in the church, or maybe you as a woman, you're friends with a woman in the church, but we've really had this family connection that's really special to us. In fact, we've already made arrangements for a pre-arranged marriage between two of our children. So we'll always be a part of the Cunningham family. I first met Craig and Trish when they came here to be youth pastors. I served as a youth sponsor under Pastor Craig the whole 6 years that he was a youth pastor. And what I observed about his ministry style and leadership was that he was a very relational leader. And I once heard someone say that ministry always flows out of relationship. And both Pastor Craig and Trish have modeled that on many, many levels. We had a very well-developed, well-conceived small group ministry that Pastor Craig developed and encouraged and fostered. Every one of our teens was accounted for and ministered to on a very, very personal level. In fact, Pastor Craig, just the other night, I ran into Barb Schoon over at Walmart, and she commented, as she has many times, how the small group ministry at Central Assembly really impacted her daughter, and her daughter still serves Christ today. And she feels very much because of the small group ministry that you developed on a very personal level. The relational ministry of Pastor Craig and Trish has meant a lot to us as we walked a very difficult journey with a teenage son. And we felt that you were some of the most safe and non-judgmental people that we could talk to and cry and process very difficult decisions. Trisha, you were such a good listener. And with your counseling skills, what I noticed about you was not that you just dished out advice and told us what to do next, but you just asked thoughtful questions that helped us arrive at some really solid conclusions. And you're one of the best listeners I know. Another thing I noticed about Pastor Craig's leadership was that he was not possessive of it. He was always giving it away to the youth and giving it away to his volunteer adult sponsors. He wasn't territorial and he wasn't possessive of leadership. He was always equipping us and encouraging us and breathing life into ministry dreams. And I remember once he said, "Nobody's called to do nothing. We're all called to do something." And according to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, that's what pastors do. Let me read the verses to you. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Pastor Craig, you've done an extraordinary job as a pastor here at Central, and I know you're going to do a great job in the Coachella Valley.
I first really developed a relationship with Craig because we have a common interest in playing board games. But when I say board games, I mean military strategy, make risk look like kindergarten stuff kind of games. And so we were at a youth retreat and decided to break out one of these strategy games. There was a group of us that were playing. And when I started noticing how much Craig was into this, I could just see it in his eyes. Other people are getting tired. And, you know, when Craig plays these board games, he's like the Energizer Bunny. He's just not going to quit. He just keeps on wanting to play and keeps on wanting to go. And we just found that common interest together. We're actually twins separated at birth. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger, which makes me Danny DeVito. He just absolutely hates losing. There's nothing funner than playing with someone that hates to lose. But I've always wondered, Craig, for all your hatred of losing, why do you do it so much? I went into his house to play the other day, and Carter said, "Oh, my dad's going to beat you. He always wins." And I'm thinking, what's he been telling his son? I love the way that you play games, but you know, the way that you play games is also the way that you approach life. And when Craig plays a game, he'll do anything to win except break the rules. We might argue over the rules a little bit, but never breaks the rules, and that's the way he lives life. I've been with Craig and Trish in so many different situations over the last 10 years, and I absolutely can authenticate that they are for real. They're the real deal. And I always appreciated that about you. And the fact that you keep on playing and keep on going in those games, you reflect that in the way that you deal with relationships in life. You just never stop believing in people. And as my wife alluded to, we kind of walked through a difficult journey with one of our sons. And it became the safe haven, was a place to go to play games. It became more than just playing games, but a place where I found that these are two of the best listeners you could ever want to share your difficulties with. And during those difficult times, you know, the words that you shared with me, I have carried them with me. I can remember things you said, Trish and Craig, that I have brought back to my memory and rehearsed at times when I was going through difficulty and told myself, but Craig and Trish said this about me. And, you know, it's not that no one else could have said it. It wasn't even that it was you that was saying it. In the book of Job, it says, your words have kept men on their feet. And I thank God that he used something as simple as playing strategy board games to create a connection between us, which is the idea of small groups. And much of the ministry is that we just take the things that we have in common with each other and we let that create connections. And then through those connections, the ministry can flow into each other's lives. And I thank God for you. And when I read Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm going to think of you.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Fantastic. Please stand. All of you stand, if you would. And I'd like to invite the whole Cunningham family to come stand right in the middle here, the altar. And we want to invite you just to come. We're going to be singing in a moment while they find their way before the rest of us over to the multipurpose hall for our reception. But I'd just like to invite as many of you as would like just to come in and just gather around them. We're going to lay our hands in faith on them and pray the anointing and grace of the Holy Spirit will be theirs. And we're going to trust the Lord to guide their every step. And all of the many things reflected about them, they're going to take to a new, brand new, young congregation. And I just believe God's going to give them those five satellite services in the next few years. And I believe God's going to use them as great church planters. And God's going to use them even in the Southern California district where I served for 12 years. And the transitions are going to be ahead there, that God's going to really use them as significant leaders in that district to model church planning, to model leadership style and heart. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God, we thank you. We thank you for them. That's right. Just lift your voice in prayer over them right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless them, O God. May the blessing of the Lord be upon them in the name of Jesus. Hundabasia, my God, give them fruitfulness and life. Pour into them, Lord, in the name of the Lord tonight. Pour upon them all they need spiritually, Lord, tonight. All they need spiritually. Pour it out on them tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, pour it out on them, Lord. All your wisdom, all your anointing, all your sovereign orchestrating of contacts and events and circumstances. Pour out all your provision emotionally and financially. And relationally, my God, pour it out, all they need, Lord. I hear you saying you promised to be all they need. All they need. There's going to be enough, Lord, in you, hallelujah, for every step. Enough wisdom, enough resource, enough anointing. My God, you're going to be there, having gone before them, and I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, bless them. We agree together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We intercede for them tonight. In the name of Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May they go forth, Lord, with strength and with joy in Jesus' name. Let the mountains and hills break forth before them. May they be led by the hand of the Lord in sovereign and mighty ways, we pray. We pray that their congregation, O God, that, Lord, from Father's Day on, Lord, as they go and that first Sunday on June 15th and from then on, there'll be a bonding of heart. And, Lord, that you will bring many more partners and you'll bring young families and you will bring older adults and you will bring, Lord, in finances and you will bring in people of vision who are willing to put their heart to the mission to reaching that unreached valley. My God, we pray that you will give them spiritual partners. You'll give them friends. You'll give them financial partners. You'll give them prayer warriors to stand around them in the name of the Lord. And that you will, Lord, make a way where in the natural there'd be no way. But you will make a way, for you're the mighty and the awesome God. Nothing is too difficult for you. And you have called them and ordained that they bear fruit and their fruit remain. That whatever they ask of you, you in your name, you will give to them. Lord, we hear and sense your promise in our hearts tonight as we pray for them, that you're going to be enough for them and that you're going to provide for them. They're going to see spectacular answers to prayer as they walk this way of faith in the next months and years. Lord, we pray you'll do it. Give them the joy of seeing your church grow. Give them the joy of seeing hundreds and even thousands of people come to Christ over the years ahead. We believe you prepared them. And Lord, we release them, Lord, to the work that now you have called them to. And we pray the blessing of the Lord will be upon them. In Jesus' name. Be upon them. In Jesus' name. Be upon Carter and Cameron and Alexis and Trish and Craig. Be upon them in the name of the Lord. Use every one of them to the glory of God. Let them reach their schools for you and let them reach their cities for you. And my God, use them greatly. And we thank you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We just all lift praise to the Lord for, you know, I believe he's hearing our prayer tonight. And thank you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We seal with prayer, with praise and faith these prayers tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to be all they need. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to build your church powerfully, that you're going to use them greatly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just as we were praying, and if anyone else senses anything, we'd be happy for you to share it, but so we were praying two things very vividly in my spirit, just hearing the word of, just hearing what I sense to be the Spirit of the Lord saying is over and over, I'll be enough for you. You're going to walk. You know, when Moses said, Lord, who will I say sent me? And he said, just say, I am that I am. And in some ways, God was saying that whatever challenge you face, who I am is going to be sufficient for what you need. And I just hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to be enough to you. I'm going to provide you with enough. I'm going to be what you need. Then there's a verse in Isaiah that comes vividly to me where it says you're going to be led forth with joy and the mountains and the hills are going to break forth before you with singing. I just believe that joy is to mark your path and that you're going to rejoice. Your hearts will be filled with amazing, fulfilling joy as you watch the Lord just make a way for you. I sense he wants you to be led with joy tonight. Led with joy. Joy in obeying Christ. Joy even when you don't know where the salary's coming from and the money. Joy when you're not sure who the ministry partners are going to be that you can trust. But joy anyway, and you're going to watch the Lord just make a way for you. Amen. Amen.
part of the ministry. They're going to be led, the places they're to live, the places they're to be influential in different ways. They're going to be led every step of the way. The Lord goes before and prepares the way.
Amen. Yes, I definitely believe that's God's word to them. Anybody else sense anything you want to share from the Spirit of God for them to encourage them? It's the way the body of Christ ought to be. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Colin, you gave such a great tribute. Can you just pray a closing prayer over them, please?
Lord, we thank you for this great evening, this great time to honor this family that has meant so much to this church. In all ages and all levels of this church, they've had an impact on us. And we know that as they leave us, they're taking with them such influence and such power to help people and to be there for a region that, as we've heard from Craig, just needs it so much. And we pray that everything would fall into place, that you would show them your love and your power, and that you would let them see that you're guiding these steps, Lord. Give them comfort as they make this move. Their entire family, Lord, we know that there are people on the other end that are waiting for them. They may not realize it, but they are waiting for them. And let them go knowing they've got a church family here that supports them all the way. Like Craig has said, we're sending them out. And we pray that you'll just give them peace. In your name, amen.
Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like Cunningham's, if they could just make their way. And Catherine's just going to lead us in a song. The rest of us, let's just let them make their way first to the fellowship hall. Let's just worship the Lord with this song together.